Good evening, countryside, and welcome back. We trust you've had a restful afternoon. Let's all find a seat, actually get to your seats, but let's stand together as we sing praises to our Lord.
With Christ my
Please remain standing for our prayer.
Let's pray together. Our Father, that is the cry of our hearts. It's certainly true for all of us who know you. We are very much aware that if you had not loved us first, we would refuse you still. But we thank you, Father, that through the gospel message that you brought into our lives, through a family member, a friend, or a pastor, Lord, in some way we were exposed to that gospel that you used to call us to yourself, to give us life, to produce faith and repentance in us. And Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that today, for many of us here, we call you Father, and that is exactly what you have proclaimed yourself to be. Lord, we're so grateful for the gospel. We're grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful for your word that teaches us all of these things. And Lord, tonight, we're grateful for those who will share their testimonies with us in baptism. Encourage our hearts. Remind us who are in Christ of the work of grace you've done in our lives. And Father, I pray that you would use the testimonies to bring others to truly know you. So we just entrust this evening to your care. We devote it to you, to the gospel of your grace, the gospel of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back tonight. Trust you have had a good day. I had the joy this morning, along with several elders and their wives, were able to be out with me at Parker Bible Church, our second church plant. We had a wonderful time celebrating their one-year anniversary. It was a year ago, first Sunday of November, that they began as a church here on our campus. And then this past January, they moved on-site out to McCall Elementary School, out toward Weatherford. And it's amazing to see what the Lord has done there. A vibrant, joyful congregation of people. And we're excited about the future, what the Lord will do there in the days ahead. But we invite you to our time together this evening. Let me say welcome if you're our guest. We're so grateful that you've come this evening. Maybe you came because of the baptism. Maybe you have a family member or friend who's being baptized. Thank you for coming to support them this evening. Or perhaps in God's providence, this is your first time, but you didn't know this was happening. You're in for a real treat. This is my favorite service at Countryside. We hear from those whose hearts the Lord has changed. But we welcome you. After the baptism service and after the final song, I've changed. I'll be out here in the worship center. Would love to meet you if this is your first time this evening. Well, it is a joy tonight to follow the Lord's command and to baptize those who have become disciples of Jesus Christ. It's important to remember what baptism does and doesn't. Baptism doesn't save anyone. This water is not magical. It doesn't produce any change in those who are being baptized. Instead, it is a sign that points to a spiritual reality that has already happened. I've been working through in my own personal time the Gospels, and I'm finding myself early in the ministry of Jesus, and specifically his conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And there Jesus tells Nicodemus, a religious man, that he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' spiritual kingdom now, or the future kingdom, heaven itself, unless he is first born from above. He experiences the new birth. And Nicodemus is incredulous. And Jesus says to him, he borrows from the language of the prophet Ezekiel, and he says, you must be born of water and the Spirit. He's not talking about baptism there. He's talking about you must be renewed, born again, so that your sins are cleansed as though washed away by water. God has to cleanse your soul of the stains that sin has left in your heart. The prophet Ezekiel talks about that. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, God says, and you will be clean. Then he says you must be born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God has to produce a change that can only be likened to a new birth. It's like your heart is reborn. The person you used to be is no longer. Oh, you're still you as a believer. You're still the person in that sense. You're the distinctive characteristics that mark you, but you are new spiritually, a miraculous change produced by the Holy Spirit. That's what baptism pictures. It doesn't produce that change. It pictures that change. So when I put each of these who give their testimonies under the water, It's a picture that person they were, that dirty person stained by sin, that person has died and is no more, as if that person has died and buried in the water. And when I draw them out of the water, it says that they now have been raised to new life in Jesus Christ. They've been born again. They have experienced that reality. And baptism is merely the outward sign of that, the testimony of that, that has already happened in their souls. So I hope you'll be encouraged as you hear these 11 who will share their testimonies with us tonight. I know you'll be, you pray for them as they come. And again, as I often challenge you, pick out one or two that maybe you know, or maybe their testimonies resonate with you. Seek them out, encourage them, let them know you appreciated that and that you'll be praying for them in the days ahead. You pray for them now as they come.
Good evening. My name is Bob Van Hoff. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I was raised in a Christian home by two wonderful, devout Christian parents. I was baptized as an infant, confirmed as a 13-year-old, and asked the Lord into my life and to dwell in my heart just before my junior year in high school. My parents were instrumental in bringing a young life into the high schools of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, and it was at a young life camp in Colorado that I trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. For the next 2 years, my faith grew. Matthew 6:30 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. However, for many years of my collegiate career and my young adult life, I remained shallow in my commitment to the Lord and was tempted to allow the treasures of this world to engulf me. It was all about me, and I selfishly jumped right in. Even though I was not living the Christian life that I ought to have been, in my 30s, the Lord blessed me with a wonderful wife and three beautiful daughters. Even then, I continued in some sinful patterns because I missed the notoriety that I was used to. I was not the loving husband and father or spiritual leader of my family that I needed to be. The lowest point of my life was at my two oldest daughters' piano lessons. I was waiting in the lobby for them to finish, and I just started to weep. I realized my marriage was in trouble, and I had to change. On the bench next to me, where I was sitting, someone had left a Portals of Prayer daily devotional, and on the cover was this verse, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Still my favorite verse. I prayed for help and forgiveness, and a peace came over me. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. I did love the Lord, but like my family, I had a lousy way of showing it. Although I was still going to church weekly, being in small groups, taking the kids to Sunday school, something was still missing. I needed to grow deeper in my faith walk. My wife suggested Bible study fellowship and or precept ministries, as she was doing both. And in seeing her growth as a Christian, I knew that she was right, and I wanted more. I started going to BSF and have been blessed to be involved in that program for 35 years and a small group leader for 30. So with thanksgiving in my heart for the grace the Lord has bestowed upon me, I pray this public declaration of my faith will make my Christian walk stronger and my witness more effective. I believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and have witnessed his divine grace, love, and influence in the world around me, in my life, and in the lives of those that I love. Because of Christ's great sacrifice for my salvation, I know that life in this world is not futile, that my sins and transgressions are not fatal, and that death from this world is not final. Without this last condition, this world would not only be unexplainable, but intolerable. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is from the gift of God. I'm here to be baptized as my Lord has commanded.
Bob, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. You started with a verse that really testifies to what the Lord has done in your life. Because you have confessed Jesus as Lord, and because you believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Kaylin. Before salvation, I was a sinner just like everyone else. Romans 3:10 says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." I remember being disobedient to my parents and lying to them. I didn't care what God thought about my sin. I only cared about what I wanted. I was selfish and proud. I was one of those Paul described in Ephesians 2:3. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. By God's grace, I grew up in a Christian home where my parents consistently taught me the truth of God's word and would share the gospel with me. I remember one night sitting on the end of my bed in my room when I was about 5 years old, praying with my parents for Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Since I was so little, it's hard for me to know whether I really understood or believed all the truths of the gospel or if I was saved then. But later on, when I was 10 years old, I was in Sunday school here at this church, and during music time, we sang the song, "Jesus, Thank You." That one line, "Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you," struck me. It made me cry, because then I understood how great a price Jesus paid for our salvation. I had ever really understood how great the effects and how terrible the consequences of sin were until then. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I had never before really considered myself to be Jesus' enemy because of my sinful nature. When we all went back to the classroom and prayed before the lesson, I prayed that Jesus would forgive me of all my sins and save me from hell and give me his eternal life. I still don't know to this day when exactly I was saved, but this I do know. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and his death on the cross has paid the price for my sin. By his grace, he has drawn me to himself. My story is this: but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, 4-9. Praise the Lord, I am now dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, as Paul writes in Romans 6:11. Since I have come to know Jesus Christ, I now love him instead of loving my sin. He has put a new heart and a new spirit in me. He has taken out my heart of stone and given me a heart of flesh, as it is written in Ezekiel 36:26. God's love set me free from sin's bondage, so that now I can walk in his light and in obedience to him. Jesus has come to be the most important part of my life. In Philippians 1:21, it is written, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I now strive, though imperfectly, to live to serve and honor God and to glorify his name alone. My life is not my own, for I belong to him. I know that I can trust my Savior even through every stormy trial that comes my way, for he is ever good and wise. Jesus is all I need. He is my life. I try to read God's word every day consistently by doing reading plans with myself and with friends, surround myself with friends that love the Lord, worship him with song, and memorize and meditate on scripture so that I might sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks me to give an account for the hope that is in me, yet with gentleness and reverence. 1 Peter 3:15. I want to stay close to Jesus and follow only him. I want to be obedient to him, so that is why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Caitlin, thank you for your testimony of faith. It's not unusual for someone like yourself not to understand exactly when they came to faith in Christ. But as you pointed out, the main thing, the most important thing, is that you are trusting in him today, that you have repented of your sins, you have put your faith in him. Because you have put your faith in the perfect life, the substitutionary death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, Countryside. My name is Ethan Thompson. I grew up in a Christian home where my parents faithfully taught me about Jesus, and honestly, it's hard for me to clearly remember a time where I didn't call myself a Christian. I always thought that I was saved when I was younger, but in hindsight, it's evident that my actions and understanding of the faith just weren't there. Unknowingly, throughout most of middle school, the desire to fit in consumed me. I started internally struggling with lots of insecurity, and I wanted to be liked by everybody. It was clear that I was trying to find affection and attention from the wrong things. I was neglecting key concepts of being a Christian, which I was taught, like the fact that not everybody will like you or what you have to say. John 15:18-9 says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." It wasn't until I was around 13 to 14 in the year of 2023 where I truly started to feel real conviction. Whether it was not paying attention at church, making selfish decisions that clearly only benefited me, or the lack of control in my tongue that could have potentially scarred people, I clearly wasn't all in for God. I was lukewarm. And as God makes clear in Revelation 3:16, where it says, "Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Being lukewarm wasn't an option, so I knew I needed to make a change. And I knew I couldn't do it by myself. And it wasn't till around this time where I truly started to feel the Lord guard me. And it's also when I think I was truly saved. I started to understand that I wasn't good enough on my own and that Jesus was the only solution. But this didn't mean it didn't take time. Even the thought that I alone wasn't good enough, no matter how hard I tried, was something that my arrogance and ignorance made hard for me to grasp. Thankfully, though, over time, the Lord started to humble me and reveal more biblical truths, like the fact that salvation is by grace through faith alone, Ephesians 2:8-9. In more recent years, once I made the internal decision to start taking my faith more seriously, I've noticed that God has allowed me to become more loving, patient, and compassionate with not only believers, but most importantly, unbelievers too. Some key things that my walk with God has taught me is the value of contentment, the blessings in suffering, and the corruption in the world that is not so hard to see. A verse that has stuck with me a lot is Romans 8:18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." I love this verse because I personally feel I can get overwhelmed with things very easily. And the Lord has used this verse to remind me to trust in him in the highs and the lows. Some things that God has started doing in my life to cultivate my walk with him is helping me get into the word consistently, incorporating and building a prayer life, and testing my faith in situations where difficult choices are to be made. Without God, I know I wouldn't be anywhere close to where I am today, and I'm so thankful that he'll always be with me no matter what. And that's why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Ethan, we are grateful that the Lord brought you to see your own sin and the reality that you could never make yourself right with him. And because you have repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus and his finished work alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Allie Haxel, and this is my testimony. Growing up, my parents always sent me to this summer camp called Vacation Bible School. At this camp, they did baptisms at the end of it. They told us that we would be happy if we did it and would come out of the water a new person who is only happy. This pursuit of happiness was the symbol of the next 15 years of my life. I was 6 years old. I did not come out of the water a new person. I came out of the water the same exact person because I had not accepted Jesus into my heart. I spent the next 15 years searching for what felt like completion and finding it nowhere. I did all the things I was told would make me happy, told by the world at least. I had plenty of friends who I gossiped and partied with. I had a long-lasting relationship rooted in sinfulness. I had passions and hobbies, none of which were in Christ. This list could go on and on. I had everything, well, according to the world. So in actuality, I had nothing because I did not know Christ. As John 15:5 states, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. These years of sinfulness and emptiness were long, spent with what felt like a never-ending pursuit for happiness. I had read every self-help book, listened to every podcast, and tried everything these online websites said would make me happy. Yet I never felt true completion in my heart. Then one day in college, I met this transfer student. I finally found someone who had what I was looking for, peace and happiness. Just looking at him was like looking at a bright light. As Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." So I asked him how he was so happy. He then shared his testimony with me, and over the next few weeks, shared scripture with me and took me to church. Then it happened. That crispy fall morning in the heart of New York City, my eyes were finally open. As Psalm 119:18 says, "Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." It all made sense. Jesus was everything I needed, everything I was searching for. Soon after, I fell to my knees in agony for the realization of my sins, for I had lived a life of sin, a life that was rooted in the world and its ways. I then repented of my sins. But yet Christ loved me. He gave his life for me. He died for my sins and my failures. I was given a new heart, created anew. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Through God's grace, I was saved. I can now say I am happy, I am joyful." As John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." While there will always be hardships and trials, I am happy because I have all that I need, Jesus Christ. Christ has provided all knowledge and all things in my life, including that kind transfer student as my husband and our sweet baby boy, Beau. Every day, I live a life of peacefulness and stillness. As Psalm 46:10 states, "Be still and know that I am God." My whole identity is now rooted in Christ. My role as a wife and a mother, the friendships I have, the hobbies I enjoy, and every breath I take because Christ gave it all to me, a worthless sinner who deserved nothing. And here I am with everything. Here I am because Jesus lived a perfect life and died so that my sins may be forgiven, so that I may live the new life provided to me by the Father. So I am here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Allie, we are so grateful for God's work in your life, for his providence in bringing someone into your life who spoke the truth to you, for opening your heart to believe those things, for giving you new life. Because you have repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, because you are in him, a new creation, the old things have passed away and new things have come. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Stephen Haxel, and this is my testimony. Growing up, my parents were Christians, and they always took me to church, but I was one of those kids that never really wanted to be there. I found the messages hard to understand, but sometimes I would have an emotional reaction to what I heard, and I would leave saying, okay, it's time to do better. Time to stop whichever sin pattern that I had deemed to be the worst one. This continued all throughout high school, which was also the point in my life in which I started really fearing death. I was a professing Christian and wholeheartedly believed it at the time. I just thought the way I lived my life in sin was normal, and I never thought twice about it. Then I left for college, and I remember my parents gave me a Bible, and I thought it was a nice gesture, but never something I paid mind to or read. Even though I never read it, I kept it on my desk for 2.5 years, and I would always see it and say, I should probably read that, but never touched it. Being in music school, I played many Easter services as a trumpet player. I was called on the phone by a fellow student of mine to play a church service in Cleveland, Ohio, where I went to school at the time. And I remember going to this church service and noticing the church was very liberal. It did not preach the same gospel that I had grown up hearing. And though I wasn't a Christian, I still knew that this church was not teaching from the Bible. And I remember thinking to myself, standing behind the preacher, These people are so lost and have no idea what they're even talking about. And in an instant, it became clear. I thought to myself, I am no more righteous than all these people who are sitting here in this room right now. Overwhelmed with what I had realized, I went home and I called my father and asked him, why did they call themselves preachers and pick and choose from the Bible what they want to and not teach what's actually in there? He then asked me if I had a Bible nearby, and I finally went and grabbed the same Bible that had been sitting on my desk for so many years. He then read to me 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. This was the first time I had ever read a verse from the Bible and knew what it was saying was the truth. And later that night, I asked for forgiveness of my sins. I now knew and understood the state of which I stood as an unbeliever, that my sin in breaking God's law demanded a punishment, and that the free gift of salvation through Christ was my only hope. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. From that moment, I knew I was gifted repentance and real faith in Jesus Christ. My life as a Christian now is a life that is full of thankfulness to Christ, a life that continues to crave a deeper understanding for what God has revealed in his word, and a desire in my heart to be faithful to him. God has blessed me with a beautiful family that I now get the honor of loving, leading, and providing for. I no longer fear death as I did as an unbeliever, and I now know that I am no longer at enmity with God, but as Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know that when Christ was hanging on the cross, God looked at him as if he had lived my life, and now God looks at me as if I lived Christ's perfect life. As the hymn says, when the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. I cultivate my walk with God by reading and understanding what has been revealed to us in Scripture, and also by prayer. Fellowship with the saints is also very important. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 10 says, two are better than one because they had a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is none other to lift him up. Because Christ has sovereignly saved me, I am now here to be baptized.
Well, if you missed it, Stephen is Allie's husband, who she was just baptized. He's the student, fellow student who shared the gospel with her. Well, we rejoice in God's work in your life as well, that he drew you sovereignly to himself, that he opened your eyes to see your condition, to see the beauty of Christ. Because you have repented of your sins, put your faith in the only one that can save you. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Amonica Cornell, and I would like to share my testimony. I was raised by a single mom of four and grew up in some of the most violent neighborhoods in Richmond, Virginia. My mom was a Christian and kept her children in church in order to keep them out of trouble. I was obedient, but I was only going to church out of habit. I wasn't learning anything about the gospel. I was baptized as a child, but had no clue what it meant. My mom was always working. Sometimes she worked two jobs. We were latchkey kids. I started working at the age of 14, and I was still going to church out of habit. At the age of 15, I was riding in a car where the driver was speeding in heavy rain and lost control of the car. The car flipped three complete times and landed on all four tires, but two of them were flat. Neither one of us had a seatbelt on, and neither one of us got injured. As a young adult, I stopped going to church, and I wasn't reading the Bible. I was leading a double life. I worked in corporate America during the day, and at night I was putting myself in dangerous situations, constantly around illegal drugs and crime. But I didn't fall victim to any of that. As it says in Psalm 121, 7 and 8, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. As an adult, I was battling depression and anxiety. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad, as stated in Proverbs 12:25. I was going to church and reading the Bible occasionally and taking my son to church. At one point, I was in a deep depression and was planning out how I was going to take my life. God spoke to me through my son. He was only 6 years old at the time. As I was planning everything out in my head, my son walked downstairs and walked towards me and said, "Mommy, don't leave me. I need you." Through all of that, I still wasn't putting God first in my life. My family, career, significant other, and friends were being put before him. Later in my adult life, it was chaotic, and I felt like I was at war. I was on the defensive and confrontational most of the time. I was dedicated to a job I held for 24 years, constantly standing up for myself and advocating for myself in a toxic work environment. At that time, I was reminded of the Bible verse my mom would always repeat to me, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. While trying to navigate through all of that, my personal life was toxic too. After being verbally abused by my significant other for months, there was one time it turned physical. My first thought was my mom and how she had been verbally and physically abused for several years. My second thought was, no, this is not going to be my life because I know it gets worse. I got an order of protection and left the apartment we shared. I was homeless and living in a shelter for domestic violence survivors. My son wasn't aware of any of this. It was during the time I was living in the shelter that I became a Christian. God placed me around domestic violence advocates who were also Christians. They prayed for me and counseled me. With everything that had transpired, I had felt so exhausted and defeated. I was reminded of Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I put all my trust in God and placed him first in my life. I had to take accountability for all my sins and repent. I prayed to God to intercede in every aspect of my life, and he did. As in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When I finally opened up to my son about my abusive relationship, once again, I was encouraged by the ministering of my son to pray to God to change me and my mindset. My life has truly changed since I became a Christian. I'm not on a defensive and confrontational all the time like I used to be. I've made it a habit to study the Word and pray daily. I go to God in prayer for advice. I regularly attend Sunday school and church. I'm fulfilled, grateful, and blessed. Listening to the sermons at Countryside on the Beatitudes, I now understand those things that I need to have a different mindset about. As a believer, I want to continue to grow in my faith. I will meditate and study Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. I know I will have disappointments and frustrations, but I know now that he advocates for me. As he says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's why I'm here to be baptized today.
Well, Monica, we're so grateful for your sharing your story with us. We are grateful as well that the Lord brought you to see him, to see your sin, but to see Christ. That though you were weary and heavy laden, you trusted in him. And because you have trusted in him, because you have confessed Jesus as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Sean Fessenden, and I have been attending Countryside Bible Church for the last 13 years. I grew up in the faith, going to Awana, attending Christian camps, and being surrounded by the truth of God's word from a very young age. But while I had the knowledge in my head, I never truly lived it out in my heart. My actions didn't reflect the faith that I had been taught. As Ephesians 2:1 states, I will still dead in my trespasses and sins, because as of James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. For many years I went my own way, living for myself rather than for Christ. I wrestled constantly with doubts and questioned my faith. I knew that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ was the only way to be a child of God. I knew John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But I didn't have that personal relationship with Christ. Over time, I began to see that my life did not show the fruit of true salvation. My attitudes of anger and selfishness kept coming out. Galatians 5:19 to 21 says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I was still deserving of eternal hell. As Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. About 2 years ago, I was finally confronted with these patterns in my life. That was a turning point. I realized I needed to seriously examine what it really meant to be saved and have eternal life. Through counsel, prayer, and God's word, I came to understand that salvation is not just about knowing the truth in my head or trying to live a, quote, good life. It's about repentance, turning from sin, and truly trusting in Christ alone. As 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. That is exactly what God led me to do. By his grace, I came to see my sin for what it was and my desperate need for a Savior. I fully surrendered to Christ, trusting in his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. and now I rest in the promise of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That is why I'm here today, to be baptized as a public declaration of my true faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is my way of saying to everyone, I belong to Christ and want to live for him, trust him, and walk in obedience to him.
Sean, it's been a wonderful blessing to see the Lord's work in your life, to see him bring you to acknowledge your false profession of faith and to come to a genuine faith in Jesus Christ, where you've repented of your sins, you have put your faith in his finished work as your only way of being right with God, only way of being forgiven, because that's your testimony. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Karin Cottle. I grew up, like a lot of people here in our church, since preschool and attended Christian school my whole childhood and into teenage years. I had the Word of God poured into me in all areas of my life, at home, at church, and at school, and I believed in Jesus as the one true God from a very young age, and felt as though I did have a sincere relationship with God as a child. I continued to feel close to God through middle school and enjoyed reading my Bible and being at church. When I was in high school, I started struggling with sins that I knew were wrong, and my sensitivity for those sins decreased. I lied to my family and Christians around me and did not feel repentant of those things for long periods of time. There'd be seasons where I felt bad for my sins and asked God for forgiveness, but looking back, I questioned my determination to put off those sins because I fell back into patterns of lying and sinning quickly. Through college, I professed that I was a Christian, but I did not have a desire to find a church home. I did not surround myself with Christians or seek them out, and I did not stand out as a Christian in any way other than just saying that I was. During my college years, I focused on school and myself instead of having any relationship with God. But I did still feel as though I was saved because I had a deep understanding and knowledge of the Bible and God and enjoyed reading my Bible, but there is no relationship beyond that. Young adult life for a couple of years was the same. I was at that point indifferent to Christ, and I let my morals be shaped by culture instead of God's unchanging word. And I loved the verse from our song today, what patience would wait as we constantly roam, what Father so tender is calling us home. I started dating my now husband, Christian, who I met at our church, and we got engaged and had our premarital counseling with Dusty Burris. It was during our premarital counseling that I started to understand what Ephesians 2 means, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, how I was a horrible sinner and dead in my sins. I now understand the truth of the gospel, that there is nothing good in me that I can offer God. Jesus came to earth to live the life I can never live, then gave his life up so I can be forgiven, and his sacrifice is the only way I can be made right with God. Through difficult and sanctifying years of marriage and motherhood, I can say for the first time, now that I am confident of my salvation, I have a renewed sensitivity for sin and a desire to put them off, and my closest relationships are with believers. I have a real relationship with God that is much more than knowledge and facts. I am thankful for the truth of 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. I, like a lot of people here, don't know the exact day, month, or even year that I was saved, but I am so thankful that God has chosen me and he has let me live to this day, because I can now confidently say that I will be with him for eternity. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ.
Well, Karin, we are grateful for the work God has done in your heart to bring you to repentance, to bring you to faith. We're grateful that you came to understand the gospel, and you have not only understood it, as you said, now it is truly the confession of your heart. Because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you've accepted his finished work on the cross as your only hope of forgiveness, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Christian Cottle. My story begins like many others here at our church. I grew up in a Christian household with parents who instilled strong biblical values throughout my childhood. We regularly attended church and were consistently involved in church programs like Awana, which gave me a firm understanding that Jesus Christ was, as it says in John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. I made a profession of faith at the end of a Power Team show, for those of you that remember the phone book tearing evangelist group, at the age of 8, which I know now was completely the influence of awe and hype. But at that time, I truly felt that I was saved and continued to feel that way up until high school. My family started attending Countryside right after my freshman year, and I immediately became very involved with the youth group culture here at church. All my friends were at church, I played church sports, I did Bible quiz, was involved in discipleship programs, many other things. If there was an opportunity available to be involved in church, I was all in. But like the Pharisees in Matthew 23:27, I was a whitewashed tomb that looked good on the outside, but on the inside was full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. I did love doing all those things, but it was motivated purely out of selfish desires. It became simply a social outlet for me that I wanted to excel at for my own personal gain. My sin didn't really bother me outside of the human consequences that accompanied it. My sin upset me because I was caught in it and not because I hated it and had a real desire to put it off and be more like Christ. This really began to manifest itself and show my true heart in my college years. My life was characterized by sin. I stopped going to church when I wasn't at home. I lied consistently to my parents to avoid consequences of my other sinful actions and selfishness. I surrounded myself with people that encouraged my sin rather than encourage me toward a path of righteousness. Outside of occasional moments in time where I got my life on track to appease whoever I thought I needed to, this continued throughout my adult life, young adult life after I left college as well. It was not until I started dating my wife, Karin, who I met here at Countryside in high school, that I realized my life was not on the right path. It started by wanting to be a better person for her, knowing that I wanted to build a godly family with her, but it was not until premarital counseling with Dusty Burris that my eyes were fully open to the true selfishness of my heart and depravity of my soul. God used Dusty to highlight so many areas of my life that were still devoted to sin and the urgent necessity I had for a Savior. Specifically, he reinforced what our Lord says in Matthew 16:24, which is, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Since coming to Christ, my life has changed dramatically. I have for the first time a true desire to put off the old self who is dead in my transgressions and pursue righteousness. I am blessed with great friendships and relationships with other Christians who encourage me in my walk and who I hope I am an encouragement to as well. I have a new perspective on the Bible itself, and I'm excited to learn about books that I did not give thought to before. For as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. But most of all, I'm so thankful to God for his unwavering love for me and for Jesus' perfect sacrifice to save me from my wretched self, giving me this new life.
Well, Christian, because you are no longer a whitewashed tomb, but because God has cleansed your heart, given you a new heart, a heart that loves him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Rebecca Hammond. I was raised in a Christian household in Minnesota with a family of 11 children, me included. I had professed faith and been baptized when not quite a teen to please my parents and hopefully get their approval. However, as I grew older, I grew more and more angry that I could not do as I pleased because God said so, and that even if I did the good things, nothing changed. I grew further convinced that it did not matter what I did, good or bad. It was just me, myself, and I. In 2020 to 2021, I was going to a church for appearances' sake and to make myself feel better about the hidden life of sin I had cultivated. The hidden things of my life truly showcased the people found in Romans 10:1-30-31. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. It was there at that church I started being convicted of the gravity of my sin and about the depths of my depravity. I started trying to do the good things and remove myself from sinful actions and lifestyle, not understanding that I could not do anything to save myself. I struggled and even attempted suicide twice as a result of my actions. I fell into a deep depression in response to all those attempts, feeling like they weren't good enough and I deserve whatever is coming to me. It was during the inpatient care towards the end of 2021, after my second suicide attempt, that I remembered a passage of scripture that my dad had frequently quoted to me, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I was able to get a friend to bring me the Bible my parents had gifted to me as a teen, and I read the rest of Romans with a desperate hunger. I realized that, like it says in Matthew 19:26, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.' It didn't matter what I did of my own will or power. I am a sinful creature and would always fall short of the glory of God. My sin eternally separates me from Christ, and I was deserving of hell." It was shortly after, alone in my room there in inpatient care, that I cried out to God for his forgiveness of my sin, acknowledging him as Lord and asking him to come into my heart. I now desire to do all things as Christ commands. Where my days were filled with sinful acts, encouraging others to sin like me, and wanting nothing to do with authority and a disdain for the word, my life is now that of 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." By God's grace, I was able to start putting away those things one by one. Friendships were broken, a vile relationship was left. I started to read my Bible more, looking for guidance on how to act and how to please, honor, and submit to the Lord with my conduct and behavior. As a result, my familial relationships began to improve since I had pushed away my siblings and parents as I had felt judged prior because of my sin-filled life. My work ethic became stronger as I now desire to honor God with the works of my hands and obeying authority instead of trying to make the most money I could and doing the least amount possible. I was able to start going to church with an earnestness and joy instead of using it as a mask on Sunday. I also had a desire to serve in church as I helped facilitate communication and events with the young adults group at my old church and be taught as I'm now going through the Partners program with Sandra Jackson. And I desire now to be baptized.
Well, Rebecca, because God used your life and circumstances, even the knowledge of your own heart, to bring you to the end of yourself, where all you could do was look up and to look to Christ. And because you have repented of your sins and put your faith in him and him alone, it's my joy to baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gunnar Day. I was raised to be a morally and ethically good kid with loose ties to Christian values and beliefs in my home growing up. I was a good kid in many regards and in the eyes of many. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, didn't curse, didn't party, and didn't hang out with too bad of a crowd. And I was proud of that. I also attended private school for my entire upbringing, and even though I was hearing and reciting Christian beliefs every day, the gospel never really took root in my life. I was like the person mentioned in Matthew 13:19, which says, "Whenever anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road." But there was a side to me that others never saw. Fornication had a stronghold in my life in high school particularly, and hiding this sin also led me becoming a pretty good liar. Additionally, my abilities and passions related to sports was an idol in my life for almost as early as I can remember. But all these sins, as 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 states, will result in not inheriting the kingdom of God. And as 2 Thessalonians 1:9 describes, I was destined to pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. But all the years of being in private school did lay the groundwork for knowing what God considered right and wrong. And one day, during my senior year of high school, God convicted me. He clearly revealed to me that my actions were disobedient to his word, and I was sinning against a holy God. And for a reason I couldn't really comprehend, because it was contrary to the desires of my flesh which ruled my life up until this point, I wanted to respond to that conviction. I abandoned the fornication and idolatry that had been such a large portion of my life for so long. It was progress, yet I felt like I was still on a highway, a new highway, without a map. And about a month later, as I arrived at college for my first semester, I was reunited with an older friend from high school who was on the leadership team at one of the campus ministries. He made it his personal goal to get me as plugged in with that ministry as was possible. The result was, as Matthew 13 and Isaiah 6 explain, God gave me eyes to see and ears to hear. God made it clear to me that not only was I sinning, but I was broken, separated from God, and in need of a Savior. I understood and believed in Jesus' work on the cross as a propitiation for my sins and took hope in his resurrection. At a church service my freshman year, I asked God to forgive me of my sins, and I repented of them. I accepted God's free gift of salvation by grace through faith and surrendered to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I am grateful that this is my reality now. And as 1 Corinthians 6:11 states, "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Since then, my life has looked much different. I've made friends with people who I would not have typically associated with. My love for others is now rooted in Christ, not selfish gain. He has given me a heart for serving others, and he has delivered me from the biggest struggles of my youth. God has blessed me with an incredible wife and children, and he has answered prayers that have taken me places I never thought I would be. God has used me to disciple young men, and I have also been blessed to have been discipled by multiple great godly men. To aid in this growth, I am reading God's word and praying more consistently in this season than I have ever before. My family and I prioritize weekly church attendance. At our former church, my wife and I served in youth ministry, and we have recently begun serving in preschool ministry here at Countryside. We attend Foundations on Wednesday nights, and we hope to continue to find more places we can serve and fellowship with our brothers and sisters here at Countryside, our new church home, in the years to come. And today, I desire to obey the Lord's command to be baptized.
Well, Gunnar, we rejoice in God's providence in your life, bringing you in touch with the gospel, bringing you to understand it, opening your heart to receive it. Because he has, as you put it, he's opened your eyes and heart to understand the truth, to believe it. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's so encouraging, isn't it, to see the different ways God is at work in the hearts of these who've shared their testimonies. For those of you who are Christians, I know that your own heart was reminded and encouraged of God's providential work in your life, the way he drew you to himself. Our stories are all the same in some ways and yet unique in so many others. I hope you'll pray for these who shared their testimonies tonight. If you're here tonight and you have never repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins in order to be right with God, you've heard that truth presented 11 different ways tonight. And it's my prayer that this evening you'll find one of us, or before your head hits the pillow, you'll find yourself alone with God, throw yourself on your knees and plead with him to change you, to forgive you, to make you his own because of the work of Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his substitutionary death, and his resurrection. That's our prayer for you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are amazed at your grace. Lord, we are all sinners, and the wages of our sin is death. Spiritual death into which we were born, physical death someday, and eternal death, separated from you forever in hell. Lord, that's what we deserve, every one of us. And yet, Father, we thank you that because of your great love with which you loved us, you sent your own Son into the world to be one of us, to live among us, to live a perfect life of obedience to you so that he would have no sin of his own to atone for, so that he would be qualified to stand in our place, to be our substitute, to pay the debt our sin had earned. Thank you, Father, that you accepted his sacrifice as the full and complete payment for the sins of every person who would ever believe in him. And then you raised him from the dead, and he is now at your right hand until the day that you make his enemies a footstool for his feet, and he returns and sets all things right. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the gospel. And for those of us who have trusted in Christ through that gospel, Lord, encourage us, strengthen us. I pray for these who've shared their testimonies with us tonight, for Bob and Kaylin, for Ethan, for Allie and Stephen, for Amonica and Sean, for Karen and Christian, for Rebecca and for Gunner. Lord, continue your work in each of their hearts. And we pray the same for every one of us who is in Christ. Thank you for the reminder, even tonight, that you will complete the work you have begun. But Lord, we also pray for those here this evening who have not yet been brought to the end of themselves, to true repentance and faith. Maybe they claim that. Maybe they prayed a prayer when they were young. But Father, they've heard the truth that it's only real faith that's a living, obedient faith. And I pray that tonight you would bring them to true repentance and faith through the testimonies they've heard, the truth of the gospel. We entrust this to your care for the glory of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful evening of testimony. We're about to sing a song that's already been referenced tonight in one of the testimonies you'll hear, and it talks about the gift of grace that is Jesus, our Redeemer. Let's stand together and meditate on these words as we sing.
Yeah.
the service tonight, I would just encourage you as you go pick up kids from Awana, if you have them, say thank you to your Awana workers. And the rest of you, enjoy fellowship tonight as we depart. God bless you and have a good week.
He has some good.